Welcome to the Colors of InfoSec podcast, a podcast demystifying what it means to navigate a career in information security and technology as people of color. I'm your host, Asif Ahmad.
And I am Christina Murillo.
And we're here to give you an all-access pass into tech and InfoSec's past, present, and future. Hey, everybody. How's everyone doing out there? We thank you guys for joining us. We know it's been a couple of weeks since you all have heard from us. So we're very happy that everyone has returned. We hope everyone is well. Everyone's doing healthy with everything that's going on. How are you doing, Christina? Is everything good with you?
Here, maintaining.
I think maintaining and unprecedented are two words in 2020 that has been just, that's all I hear are like those two words.
Yeah.
You know, so don't feel bad. I think we're all actually just trying to maintain. That's a very good way to sum it up.
Yeah.
But during these last several weeks, we've decided to go dark because we wanted to support democracy and support everyone, you know, focusing and coming up with a plan for them to get out there and express their opinion. So over the last, you know, several weeks, we didn't release any episodes. So as far as what I've been doing, what you've been doing, I'm just going to talk about what I did over the last several weeks. The first thing I did was I tried my best to get caught up on everything that was going on, whether it's in the industry, whether it's the election. And I just want to give, before I even get into that, just give a huge, huge shout out to Kamala Harris, her being the first vice president of color and of Black and Indian descent. So I just want to give her a huge shout out for just representing and just not only speaking her truth, but being out there and just being a powerhouse for everyone. But, you know, me having a daughter of Indian descent and having children of, I have a son of Indian and African-American descent. And I have, you know, my other two children are of Indian descent. It is huge to be represented and for them to have someone out there that they could look up to. So for me, it was personal. So I wanted to give her a little shout out. And, you know, outside of that, I've been just attending conferences and doing a lot, trying to stay positive.
Yeah. So, that week of the election was like insane. I actually happened to, just because of timing, I had started a new job that Monday, but, you know, had election day off, so I was able to go and vote and stuff like that. But of course, like everyone else, super stressed and anxious, you know, because of like not knowing what was going to happen and just the result and the chaos that was about to ensue. You know, also fighting, you know, still kind of, we're all fighting this whole pandemic and being stuck at home and all that. So just to add a little bit of more stress to the equation. And then basically just really, I've just been really focusing on like adapting, you know, figuring out this new role, this new company, meeting everyone, which has been really cool so far. But, you know, also being home, balancing with, you know, the kids, being a mom, obviously, and then trying to also learn, study, doing school. So kind of like the same, but just with the added stress of you can't go outside or you shouldn't go outside as much. And also we, you know, being in the middle of like that election, right? And so kind of dealing with some of the crap, right? It's just very anxiety inducing. So that's really what I've been up to. Yeah, I've been exhausted. I think with like everyone else, I've just been, it's exhausting.
No, I second that. And I feel that week that you're referring to, I think I was on edge the entire week. I mean, I'm still not started off of it, to be quite honest with you. Just everything, just the way, you know, everything was handled. I actually did a mail-in ballot because I didn't feel comfortable. I just didn't feel safe going out and voting. And what I mean by that is like I have two very small children. One's 4, the other's 2. And just I didn't want to get, you know, bring home, you know, the virus or anything else. So I just figured the easiest way for me to do it would be a mail-in ballot, and I can track the ballot and all that other stuff. So I felt secure with that. And the way, you know, I'm a New Jersey resident. So I know we have a lot of listeners from all over the world. I know we have international listeners as well. But yeah, so the mail-in ballot was for me the best option, because I thought, you know, I can track it and I can see, you know, when it arrived and all that other stuff. So being, you know, being an InfoSec person, that's kind of like what we do. We like to have, you know, audit trails and yeah, all that other good stuff, right?
Yeah.
But aside from that, my week to with work, and I, you know, my the company that I work for is not a US based company. So the funny thing was that I was getting contacted by a lot of my coworkers that, you know, in the UK, in India, just asking me about what was going on with the election. It was like they were watching us, like everywhere was watching us. So it just threw me off a bit how in tuned everyone was with it. And I'm just glad that it's over.
Is it over though? I don't know.
No, I mean, like my part of it, like the part that I played, right? The part that I played, like I, you know, I voted and did my part. And, you know, in my opinion, in terms of me worrying about it, like I look at things sometimes, I think in this situation for me, the only safety I felt was just not having, I can't control everything. So, the only thing I could control is kind of like, you know, my mood sometimes and my outlook. And so I try my best to stay positive, but like you said, it's been rough. So,
yeah.
And then to what throws this into a loop for me is working from home. I think people think that working from home, and it is a huge blessing, because I know there's a lot of people in this economy that are suffering. They can't work. And I have the opportunity to work from home. So I think it is a blessing, but it's also very rough. Like a lot of us have to homeschool our children. And this is something I don't share that much with a lot of people, but I'm comfortable enough to share on this podcast. My daughter is special needs. So, like it just adds another caveat to the situation. And just for me, you know, my daughter was recently diagnosed with special needs and about roughly a year and a half ago. So finally I got her on a proper schedule, and we had everything, you know, working like clockwork. And then this pandemic hit. So on top of working from home, and like I said, you know, doing this pod and studying for certifications and literally setting up, you know, managing and doing everything, it's like you also have to become a teacher now too. So it's just a different mindset. It's just a different challenge that kind of makes it just almost very difficult. And I mean,
almost very difficult. It's like extremely difficult.
Well, I'm trying to be positive, man.
No, you got to be real, and then we'll be positive later. Seriously, it's like it's super, super difficult. It's I can't imagine what other people. I mean, I think that we're privileged, right? That we do have, you know, good jobs, that we're able to work from home. Imagine folks that are dealing with everything you just mentioned and still have to get up and go to work, right? I have family that they don't have the luxury of working from home 5 days a week. They're single parents, and they have to, you know, figure out, okay, now that New York City schools have closed again, what am I going to do with the kids, right? Like, right, and then just going through that guilt of feeling like, am I choosing my job? Like, what do you choose? Your job that supports the family, or your child that needs to be educated and learn? And so there's that constant struggle as well. I mean, 2020, like, let's keep it real. 2020 has been a nightmare. Like, there are positive things though. Like, one of the, you want to keep it positive, I have seen that a lot of folks have gotten new opportunities, right? You know, for folks that are able to work from home, there have been more, you know, companies don't have a choice at this point. So they have to hire more folks that don't live in those kind of regions or states. And so there are more opportunities for people to work from home, like people specifically in the information security industry and other industries as well, to work from home, right? Which is a positive. So I've seen a lot of people winning and getting new jobs. And so that's always good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's probably one of the only things I can see that positively came out of 2020 is seriously. I do see a lot of people exploring new careers, trying new things, you know, writing. I do see a lot of people, public speaking events. I do see, I'm just going to speak for the InfoSec industry. I see a lot more people that are getting, that are speaking at conferences. Like I just attended, just to give you an example, I just attended the ISC Square Security Congress. It was my first time attending it because normally, right, to attend that conference, it would be, you have to pay for a flight. It's usually around close to $8,000. Then you're paying for food. You have to fly down to Orlando or Vegas or one of these, you know, one of these awesome destinations, right? Because they want to put, you know, events and everything around.
Vegas
around
is the not conference. Awesome, but okay. I'm just kidding. No,
I love Vegas, man. Vegas, I might act a little, but I love Vegas. But that's another topic for another time. But yeah, so like this year, it was like it wasn't even that much money. It was all virtual, and the amount of people that they had speaking, like they had Bruce Schneier on there. They had like, you know, a lot of people getting into, you know, identity management, cloud, like in-depth cloud security. That's funny.
Were these recording? That would be really cool.
Yeah. Like really in-depth cloud security, incident management. So like all this like knowledge and all these people presenting, I had a hard time choosing like which track, because there's like a managerial track, there's like a technical track, there's like a cloud security track, there's like a software development lifecycle track. So they had all these cool things going on. So that was one of the positive things I have to say, that ISC Square really did a good job making this Congress or this virtual event, you know, like something worthwhile for all the participants. And, you know, and working from home and doing it from home, that to me is a positive 2020 thing, is that just the educational opportunity. Like that was a huge opportunity for me, I thought, from an educational standpoint, because I learned so much, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like I gained a lot out of it. However, mind you, I was doing this while in the middle of trying to drop my daughter off to school, or, you know, if she's not in school, you know, running, you know, like trying to figure out her day, making sure my son was okay. It was difficult because there was times I had to transfer the conference to my phone and then, you know, do all these things in between. So like you said, like you alluded to beautifully earlier, like it's just hard to manage all of these things. And for some way, you know, come out with, you know, smiling. And another thing I noticed too is like, I know there's a lot of guys that are in InfoSec. I'm just going to speak for, you know, for the guys out there. I don't see them talking about how hard this is. Like, it kind of worries me sometimes because I feel like, hey, if I say something, I'm not going to be looked at as like, you know, because I'm a veteran, I'm a man of color. And if I say something like, damn, this is hard, you know, dealing with all of this and being in InfoSec and doing all this, am I going to be looked down upon for saying these things, you know? So I just feel like, you know, yeah, 2020 is a struggle, but like us, like guys, man, let's talk about it. Like, let's engage each other. Let's, you know, hit me up in the DMs or whatever. Let's talk, because I, you know, I just want to make sure I'm not the only one out here feeling this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think you're not the only one out here feeling this, but I think it's like it's cultural, but also just like societal, right? Like there's a problem where men are expected to be stronger and like, don't be a crybaby, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're a man. That's what you're supposed to do. Like, not express your feelings, which is really unfortunate because I think there's so many people that are suffering and struggling. So absolutely. I mean, I suggest it. I think that I know it's hard for men to be vulnerable. And while I will say maybe, you know, you may not want to do that on social media, definitely like phone a friend or something, right? Yeah. Like it's important to be able to express it. I think that one of the things that we don't talk about as well is that, like, you know, mourning is about more than death, right? Like, I just feel like I'm constantly feeling like I'm in a state of like mourning 2020 or like the possibilities or the potential, like what could have been. You know, especially like I'm wanting not taking a vacation because like I really needed a vacation. Like I know it's like, you know, first world problems here, but like I think that gives you that opportunity to reset and just, you know, get with people you love, see people and spend time with people that, you know, family, friends, And so that's been really difficult, like that kind of loneliness, which I don't know. We're all messed up. And by the end of all this shit, we're all going to have like PTSD.
You know,
I mean, I'm not even going to front. Like, it is what it is. Like, let's keep it 100% real. We won't know the effects of this, you know, for years, right?
No, I agree. I think it's funny how it's not funny, but I think I'm saying in funny, like in terms of how it is in my brain, because I'm looking at it like, you know, every time I see TV or I'm hearing an update, I hear about a vaccine, or I hear about, you know, a financial struggle, or I hear about everything being, you know, talked about, but I never hear the mental health aspect of this, you know, and the mental health, the wear that it's going to have. I think this is the first time I've ever seen anything where collectively the world, it doesn't matter where you live, right? We're all experiencing this one event all at the same time. Usually, like when I used to live, like, you know, when I lived in Florida, if we had a hurricane, right, one of my family members in Toronto or one of my family members in New York would call me up and be like, hey, why don't you come up here while the hurricane's going on? Because, you know, it's just to kind of show support in a way. Now, like, it doesn't matter if you're
you can't go anywhere.
If you're in China. We stuck. Yeah, if you're in Miami, if you're in, you know, Guyana, if you're in DR, if you're in Cali, we're all, like, going through it. UK, it doesn't matter. So I think the whole world having a situation and then having consequences that come out of it, it's like I said, it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, I think the main thing is we got to talk about it. We can't be, you know, we got to kind of be there for one another. I think that's one of the things. I think, you know, one of the things that as far as like coping with all of this, I think one of the things that helped me cope, I think, with dealing with all this is trying to get a tribe, like building a tribe of whether it's friends, coworkers, colleagues. I think that's one of the tips. If I had to give a tip, right, on how to deal with all of this, is like build yourself a tribe. Build yourself a tribe of people that you trust and that are diverse. What I mean by diverse, have them be people like in InfoSec, people in different fields, have like multitudes of interests. Because I do. I'm interested in a lot of things. I'm into sports. I'm like, I love tech, right? But it's not just the only thing I do. I like to read. I like to. I love my kids, you know, but like what I do is, so I make friends with like other parents, like other guys that are like dads or other, like, for instance, you're part of my tribe. I don't know if you know that, but like I hit you up sometimes and get your perspective on an idea I have, or like we talk about our kids, or, you know, like I feel that probably, I think this year I've leaned on my tribe, I think, more than ever. And I got to give every one of you guys props, because y'all have been here for me. You too, C, you're part of that. I don't know if you know it, but you're part of it. Like, y'all have always picked up every call, answered every text, you know, and supported. So I'm gonna give a shout out to my tribe, because y'all have really been there. And I encourage you out there, like everyone out there listening, like if you're going through some stuff, like build yourself a tribe of people, because it's hard to do this alone. And it's like I said, this year I think has really made me like very thankful for that, is try to reach out to people. Like, if you, what do you do, see, like in terms of, like when you're going through some stuff, like what's your kind of like, what's your process, or how you do it?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I have like a process, so to speak, but I know that I, you know, I really like self-reflect and just self-assess, but I also listen to my body, right? Like, you know, one of the problems in this industry and just in tech in general is that you're expected to work in tech, you know, 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day or whatever. And then after you log off, you have to go and build VMs and like, you know, build cloud clusters and just like experiment and crack passwords and stuff. And it's like, really, you know, like that's, it's just not sustainable. So I think, to your point, like having other interests and stuff is really important, but also listening to your body, right? Like, so your body will tell you, listen, you are tired, you need to do nothing, and being okay with doing nothing. So there are times where I take my weekends and I literally do nothing, and I fight through the guilt of not doing anything, because I feel like we're all wired to like want to do more and be productive and record more episodes. And even like to the point that, you know, for the last 2 weeks, I've been like, yeah, no, I can't, right? Because I've just, like, I really needed that time. And that's one of the things that 2020 has taught me, that I need to be super bullish about my self-care. And the fact that I can't go to the spa or to the salon or whatever to treat myself right now, I have to be very intentional about being still and doing the things that, like, make me feel relaxed, that allow my brain to rest, right? So, like, 2 weeks ago, I watched, like, The Queen's Gambit, like, from, like, a Friday night to, like, all day Saturday. I literally just, like, got up, took a shower the next Saturday and, like, took my kids, you know, I got my kids food, cooked dinner. You know, I would pause, do all I had to do, come back upstairs, watch the rest of the episodes. By the way, The Queen's Gambit on Netflix is phenomenal. It's such a great series. I highly recommend it. But see, that's an example. Like, I had homework and stuff, but I said, nope, can't. My brain is fried. Can't do anything right now. I'm giving in to this. And I think that we need to learn how to be okay, especially because we have, like, information overload right now. There's multiple, like, you know, you don't even have to turn on the TV now to get news, right? And get, like, you know, flooded with news and information that you're just like, I don't care. I don't want to know about this right now. Like, I needed to stop. So, you know, I think, again, being very self, being very aware and being able to stop and, like, being okay with, like, getting out of the line for a second, you know, or 3 days, and really shifting and focusing on, like, okay, what is it that I want to do right now? Oh, I don't want to do anything. Let's do nothing, you know, and being, like, okay with that. And I know that's easier said than done, but I think that it's what we're going to have to do to maintain our sanity, because if we keep going at the level, at the levels that we were going before, we're not going to make it, right?
No, I like what you said, and this is why I like what you said, because I think tech professionals, techies, technologists, whatever you want to call us, we're, like, conditioned in this field to overwork, right? We're wired a certain way coming up that you go all out to kind of solve these issues, whether it's, you know, writing an RFP or it's, you know, doing a project plan, or coming up with a, you know, or we actually implementing a router or a switch or hardening or security hardening or coming up with a policy or whatever it is, audit. It's like, no matter what, you know, field you're in or what aspect of tech or infosec you're in, you're, like, wired to, like, put in these outrageous number of hours, like, amount of hours. And, like, I think what the working from home along with the pandemic is like, sometimes we, because we're, you know, we're already doing it and we're like, we don't want to think about the pandemic, so we'll end up working more. Or yeah, because we're, like you said, you
stay
feel
busy. We have to stay busy.
Yeah, exactly. Or you feel like you said, you feel somewhat guilty because you have a remote opportunity. You feel someone else out there is struggling, or, you know, like a person that's working, you know, an essential worker, or that's putting themselves in harm's way. You sometimes feel like, listen, they're going that hard. Maybe I should go that hard as well. So,
yeah,
you know, it's tough, it's, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, but I think that there's, like, you know, dualities do exist, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you can totally be okay with feeling the way you feel without feeling like you're being, ungrateful, right? For, like, what you have in your life. Or, like, I think that's one of the things that, like, burns my gears, that, like, you know, sometimes when you want to vent or say, like, hey, I'm feeling this way, or I'm upset or I'm sad, folks are like, well, you should be thankful. It's like, well, yeah, I'm thankful. It doesn't mean that I'm not thankful because I'm tired as hell or because I need a break. One of the things that I want to add to the earlier point is that, listen, take your vacation days, okay? Take your vacation days. Take two of them. Take your sick days. Like, take the time. Like, don't let these companies out here run you ragged, right? Because it will happen. Like, if they can get, you know, another 20 hours from you because of whatever psychological thing that, you know, that's happening right now, they will, right? And I think that it's a lot of people are experiencing burnout. a lot of people are experiencing burnout. And I know a lot of people don't talk about it on social media, but, you know, every time I tweet something relative to that or just kind of like that balance not existing, I get like flooded with messages, right? Where people are not maybe free to share, but are feeling the same thing, are struggling with the same feelings. And I just feel like life is too short to be miserable, and you really got to keep it real and be honest with yourself. You may not want to be honest with the world, but you have to be honest with yourself. And the fact of the matter is that you have to take your time, you know, and I learned that the hard way. From here on out, I'm not going to be, you know, feel guilty about taking my vacation time or about taking time, even if it's to sit at home to do absolutely nothing. I will be 100% okay with that because it's needed. Like, we need to recharge. Like, our brains and bodies have not evolved for us to like work at the pace that we work. We cannot. And also, I'm not trying to make Red Bull rich because I noticed that I was ordering extra cases and I'm like, you know, I'm going broke ordering Red Bulls. So, you know, shout out to Red Bull if they want to give us a sponsorship, but I still drink it, but not work as hard. Right. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's okay to like, to stop. Right. And to be like, nah, I'm going to like take me time. You got to be selfish, right? Because every time you say no to yourself, you know, every time you say yes to another opportunity or something else, you're saying no to yourself. And at the end of the day, you are the one that's going to suffer, you and your family, if you have a family. And these jobs, let me tell you, they'll send you a bouquet of flowers and tell your husband or your wife, sorry for your loss. And they will hire someone else to replace you. So, you know. Think yeah, about priorities.
Bars. She just gave you the bars right there. She gave you the keys right there. But I agree. I totally agree. I think I see it.
You always agree. One day no. We need to have a conversation about and disagree about something.
No. But I mean, not with burnout, man. Burnout, I'm gonna agree with you all day. It's a really, really common. My question is for our listeners though. I would love to know this, is that we see it a lot in InfoSec. But does it exist in other industries? Because I just want to know, is this like just an InfoSec tech thing, like the burnout, or does this exist in other industries as well? Like, does it exist in finance? Does it exist in, you know, and I'm sure in the medical industry right now, what's going on? I'm sure it does. You know, people are overworked insane amounts, but I'm just wondering, like, yeah. is this like something that we're, you know, because we're obviously, you know, our fingers are, our hands are on the pulse. We're on the pulse of tech, but I'm just wondering if it's all over and if the pandemic added to that. Well, I'm sure for the medical industry, I know that's a yes, but I'm just wondering, and outside of that, another thing that I like what you said
think,
is like,
I think yes.
Yeah.
I don't you know think answer, so? But I'm just, of course, because I think it's like any, you know, first of all, corporate world in general.
Yeah.
And just you know, what we're going through. So I think that obviously we're not the only, you know, special snowflakes. This industry is not the only, you know, ones that are going through this. I definitely think other industries are as well.
In terms of self-care, for me, I like, you know, you said using vacation days. I encourage a lot of the guys and gals that work for me to do that. In fact, one thing I like about companies I've worked for in the past is that they like to encourage you. They'll monitor how many days people are taking off and encourage people to take time off, especially like around, and they'll start doing this like after summer, like maybe around August, September, they'll start telling everyone, hey, listen, you know, I've noticed that you guys, you know, your team hasn't been taking time off. A lot of them have a lot of vacation remaining. And usually towards the end of our fiscal year, you're going to lose a certain amount of days. So I would suggest you encourage your team to take time off. So I hope companies start doing that more, start encouraging their people to take time off, start, you know, I've noticed mental health breaks. I've noticed that, you know, I've seen companies now encouraging people to walk more, not you know, either whether it's around their house or to go outside because of the pandemic. So I do see companies making somewhat of an effort. As far as how far that's going to go to contribute to, you know, mental health, as far, I don't know. I don't think we have a handle on that yet, but at least I do see some effort as far as, you know, will those efforts yield any type of results? you know, I don't know. But that's one thing for me. I wish I could get away more. Like you said, a vacation would be dope right now, but I know for a fact that I can't do it. I would love to go home to South Florida and see my family. I haven't seen like my parents in over a year. So I would definitely like, and they haven't seen the kids. So that's something that's really been bothering me. But I think once this is all settled and this is all done, I definitely want to take a nice vacation. I think that's probably one of the things I miss the most is traveling. I haven't traveled in almost 2 years now. So it's been crazy. Aside from that, like,
I don't know when this is going to be over, but I haven't seen my family in forever. And my mom is trying to convince me to fly like to the Dominican Republic for like the holidays. She's in Florida right now. She's like, I'm going to the Dominican Republic. You should come. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, no, that I have kids. No, we're not going to do that. Right. But yeah, same as you. Like I would love to like go to Florida or go to the Caribbean, just go to the beach, lay out by a pool, like just to recharge, like no technology, no phones, no computers, like I don't know, just to change it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. Like in 2021, right? I know 2020 has been hectic. So like for 2021, let's try and be hopeful, right? Well, we could try, you know, but if you like were to say there's some things you want to see on the horizon for 2021, like what would a few of these things be?
Like what? Like in general, like generally like, speaking, or just like
whether it's myself. Tech. Well, yeah.
I don't know. You know what? Like, to be honest with you, I'm going to just keep it 100. To be honest with you, like, I'm not concerned about that. Like, I can only control. Yo, seriously, like, I can only control my actions and, like, my reactions. I think, you know, I'm hopeful for, like, just kind of that reset, right? Like, a new year, new opportunities, kind of hoping that, you know, we're all in good spirits and health, right? At this point, we got to almost live day by day because we can't make these, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know, right? Like, we don't know what's happening. And so I think that for me, I'm hopeful that, like, you know, more folks will wake up, be happier, make changes, right? Like, make impactful changes in their lives because they're realizing that, hey, life is short. I'm hopeful that, you know, this new president is going to really, first of all, I'm hopeful that he'll pay off our student loans or clear our student loans because I need that help. You know, I'm hopeful that, you know, I don't know, you know, I feel like it's kind of really difficult to say because there's so much going on that you almost don't want to jinx it. You know what I mean? Like you just try to like enjoy and appreciate the present, and tomorrow you do the same and tomorrow you do the same. I'm not really concerned about anything else. Like I'm, you know, I'm looking at ways to kind of diversify my intake, like my news intake, the projects that I work on after work, right? Like changing it up a little bit. I might take a streetwear course. I don't know. Like, you know, because I think that we have to do these things to stay like vibrant and not just, you know, falling into these like traps. Right. So I don't know. I can't be positive. I can't be as positive right now because like things are crazy.
No, I feel you. I feel you. Me, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be doing. 2021 to me. It's all about the cloud for me, yo. I'm gonna get into this cloud security business. I'm gonna really put some. That's what I'm gonna study. I've made 2021 my year to kind of really get into it from a security standpoint, from a research standpoint. Just really get into it, you know. So that's one of the things I'm excited about. I won't lie. So I'm probably gonna try and take my CCSP, hopefully by mid. Or the end of the year. So that's one of my goals for this year, is to get into that technology. I mean, I've worked with it, but I really want to, you know, get my hands dirty and just get in there and do some things, pen tests, things like that. So I'm excited about that. I'm, you know, The second thing is, it's good to have something to be excited about. Yeah. The second thing I'm hoping for is the gyms, man. I need the gyms to open, man. I mean, I want it to open safely, though, because I really miss the gym. I think that was one of my tribes that I had before COVID. I got a nice crew at the gym. It was a good group of people, and we used to motivate each other. So I definitely miss that. So I'm hoping that it comes back, and it comes back in a healthy and positive way.
Yeah.
Second thing is for the schools, man. My daughter and she needs the schooling. She needs the extra care, and those teachers. Let me tell you something. 2020 made me realize that teachers, I love y'all and I appreciate you guys. The jobs that you all do, it goes unnoticed a lot of the times. And I think if 2020 taught us anything, it's to appreciate teachers, the medical professional, research, like, you know, these folks that go out there and, you know, are responsible for our children. I don't think they get enough credit. So that's something that I'm going to take seriously in 2020 moving forward, is to try to give, you know, some teachers some love in terms of giving them their due respect. You know, take care of them in any way I can, whether it's, you know, that's one thing. The other thing I'm looking forward to, and the last thing, is getting more involved in like just local things, like getting involved in the local school boards, getting involved in just local, like even if it's local government, just getting involved and being more aware of what's going on around us locally. Like, I'm not trying to get, you know, say, I understand that the election was important, but that's presidential. Like, I think for me, I want to get more involved locally, like to get involved in, like, whether it's money for the parks and money for like our local sanitation workers and rights for them and things like that. I think getting involved in just local, and whether it's just a recycling campaign, just something to teach my children that it's important to just get involved locally. So that's why I'm hoping that this stuff clears. And those are some of the things I'm excited about. And I try to stay excited, because let me tell you, it's rough. It's hard to get excited about things these days.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. I'm definitely trying, because, you know, it's like I see my children sometimes and I'm like, man, I can't even take them to the park. You know, I can't.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. So
kids are struggling and suffering just as much as adults are. Right. And it's hard for us to see our kids, you know, having to go through that as well. Yeah. So I definitely feel you. That's why I'm saying that, like, I think that it just this year has also reminded me that there's more to life than just like the day to day. And so, you know, it's hard to be like, oh, I'm so excited about this, because we don't know with this pandemic. It's really difficult. And I feel like I'm at the point in my life where I don't want to make, it's like no expectations, no disappointments. You know, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it. But I'm not going to like talk about it for like 80 days and then get disappointed because it's too much. So, yeah. The one thing that I am excited about, though, is that I don't know if I shared it on the podcast, but I'm like writing, curating and editing this new 97 Things book for O'Reilly. So just kind of working on all of that. The proposal was approved a few months ago. So working on combining all of that. So I'm excited for that to be released next year. Hopefully it all goes well, smoothly. And it is released. So that's one thing I'm excited about. But, you know, a few more months to go, and there's a lot of work ahead of me for that. But yeah, just kind of playing it day by day. I'm excited for hopefully a reliable vaccine at some point.
Yeah, no, I get you. Well, not only are we talking about, you know, 2020 and 2021, also, drum roll, this is also our season finale. So we're wrapping up season one. This is our last episode. So, you know,
yeah, we're going to take the holidays off.
Definitely.
And we hope that you guys take the holidays off as well.
Definitely. But we just want to, like, not only thank you all for a lot, you know, subscribing, commenting and rating. But, you know, we also want you to keep in touch with us as well. So because as we're bringing you in season two, we want like the feedback, the conversations. We'll be on our socials. We'll be on there on IG, Twitter, LinkedIn. Like I said, give us a follow and engage us. We love to hear from everyone. We've gotten a lot of support, a lot of positives, a lot of feedback. I've met a lot of cool people out there in the industry. So season one for me has been, it's been amazing. It's been such a huge learning. I've learned so much about myself more than anything. I didn't step out to do this podcast to learn about myself. I actually try to do it to help. I think that's one thing me and C, like we felt like we could share our experiences and share our stories with everyone. So because we know what it feels like to kind of be people in this industry and not really have mentorship, not have sponsorship, not have, kind of like that guidance. So we set out doing this to help others. And for me, I feel like I've learned so much about myself, so much about Christina. I learned a lot about you too, but I feel like I've learned so much. So I just want to thank everyone for that opportunity. What about you? How do you feel about season one?
Season one, I mean, it was a learning experience. It was definitely a wild ride. I'm proud that we were able to actually record all these episodes and that we were, super diligent about it. And also that, we kind of had to learn a couple of things in the process, right? Like how to edit audio, which is something I never thought I would be doing, but it's great to like learn these really like tactical skills and tangible skills. So that was fun. And it is hard work though, right? I mean, I didn't understand the amount of work that it entailed. I don't regret doing it, but it does require like a lot of discipline, which obviously in the middle of a pandemic and a crazy election is a little bit tricky. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what the next season will bring. I want to thank and give a shout out to all of, all of the guests who appeared on the Colors of InfoSec podcast this season. To Asif's point, definitely, give us feedback, let us know what you thought. Also let us know how we can improve, because without feedback, you don't improve, you don't grow. We definitely would like to get better. And also feel free to tweet us and also email us if there's a topic that you want us to demystify or cover or keep it real on. So yeah, make sure to do that.
We really want to thank our listeners for coming along with us on this journey. We will be back in early 2021 with brand new episodes.
Until then, you can engage with us on social at Colors of InfoSec and catch up on our entire season at colorsofinfosec.com or on your favorite podcast app. Wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, among others. Follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Colors of InfoSec. Thanks for listening.